Kia ora. This program is brought to you by Wellington Access Radio. Get your voice heard.
Welcome to the Alcoholics Anonymous meeting on air. My name is David and I'm an alcoholic and chairperson of today's meeting. We open AA meetings with the Serenity Prayer, and I ask you to join me. God,
grant me the serenity
to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can,
and wisdom to know the difference.
Alcoholics Anonymous is a fellowship of men and women who share their experience, strength, and hope with each other that they may solve their common problem and help others to recover from alcoholism. The only requirement for AA membership is a desire to stop drinking. There are no dues or fees for AA membership. We are self-supporting through our own contributions. AA is not allied with any sect, denomination, politics, organization, or institution, does not wish to engage in any controversy, neither endorses nor opposes any causes. Our primary purpose is to stay sober and help other alcoholics to achieve sobriety. And this is the Alcoholics Anonymous meeting on air in Wellington. The AA telephone number, if you wish to contact AA, is 0800 AA Works, which is 0800 229 6757. So that's 0800 229 6757, and the website is aa.org.nz. Now, if we can introduce each other here. As I said, I'm David, I'm an alcoholic, and with me we've got...
Hi, I'm Cecile and I'm an alcoholic.
Hey, Cecile.
I'm Rebecca and I'm an alcoholic.
Hey, Rebecca. And I'd like to ask Rebecca, please. No, I will ask Cecile to read how it works.
Rarely have we seen a person fail who has thoroughly followed our path. Those who do not recover are people who cannot or will not completely give themselves to the simple program, usually men and women who are constitutionally incapable of being honest with themselves. There are such unfortunates. They are not at fault. They seem to have been born that way. They are naturally incapable of grasping and developing a manner of living which demands rigorous honesty. Their chances are less than average. There are those, too, who suffer from grave emotional and mental disorders, but many of them do recover if they have the capacity to be honest. Our stories disclose in a general way what we used to be like, what happened, and what we are like now. If you have decided you want what we have and are willing to go to any lengths to get it, then you are ready to take certain steps. At some of these we balked. We thought we could find an easier, softer way, but we could not. With all the earnestness at our command, we beg of you to be fearless and thorough from the very start. Some of us have tried to hold on to our old ideas, and the result was nil until we let go absolutely. Remember that we deal with alcohol. Cunning, baffling, powerful. Without help, it is too much for us. But there is one who has all power. That one is God. May you find him now. Half measures availed us nothing. We stood at the turning point. We asked his protection and care with complete abandon. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. 1. We admitted we were powerless over alcohol, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. 4. Made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5. Admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6. Were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7. Humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. continue to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to alcoholics and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Many of us exclaimed, "What an order, I can't go through with it." Do not be discouraged. No one among us has been able to maintain anything like perfect adherence to these principles. We are not saints. The point is that we are willing to grow along spiritual lines. The principles we have set down are guides to progress. We claim spiritual progress rather than spiritual perfection. Our description of the alcoholic, the chapter to the agnostic, and our personal adventures before and after make clear three pertinent ideas. A, that we were alcoholic and could not manage our own lives. B, that probably no human power could have relieved our alcoholism. C, that God could and would if he were sought.
Thanks, Cecile. And this is the Wellington Alcoholics Anonymous meeting on air on Wellington Access Radio 106.1 FM. And just before we move on into our sharing for today, I'll read the daily reflections for September the 20th, and it's HP as guide. HP standing for higher power, I think, or as some have told me, HP source. And all of them, can you be your higher power? HP as guide. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. And that's from Alcoholics Anonymous, page 164. And the reading, having a right relationship with God seemed to be an impossible order. My chaotic past had left me filled with guilt and remorse, and I wondered how this God business could work. AA told me that I must turn my will and my life over the care to God as I understand him. With nowhere else to turn, I went down on my knees and cried, God, I can't do this. Please help me. It was when I admitted my powerlessness that a glimmer of light began to touch my soul, and then a willingness emerged to let God control my life. With him as my guide, great events began to happen, and I found the beginning of sobriety. And that's today's reading from the Daily Reflections, September the 20th. And now can we start our sharing, please? Could I ask Rebecca?
Thanks, David. I'm Rebecca. I'm an alcoholic.
Hey, Rebecca.
My home group is the Tuesday Mount Victoria Big Book meeting. Actually, it's the first meeting I ever attended, I kept coming back, and I loved it so much that it's become my home group, and this is the anchor for my sobriety. I love the fact that the Big Book is at the center of my sobriety. But just thinking about that that daily reflection, I kind of feel like HP can be both a power and a source. My mind was kind of playing. I thought, well, this could be my power source, and because I'm powerless, this is what I have to plug into to be able to operate. My HP power source is the answer to my powerlessness. That aside, I'm incredibly grateful for AA and for the fact that it works, that reading how it works is amazing. When I first came in to the rooms and I was powerless, I had been able to accept that. I was a mess. I was barely employable. I couldn't really maintain stable accommodation. It took about 3 months before people would kind of wise up to the fact that I was chaos and not a good person to have around, and kick me out. I was sort of on a knife edge with work. I was definitely becoming unemployable. I had kind of just, you know, I'd gone from being a young person with lots of potential to being sort of just quite useless. And I was like a good alcoholic, staying close to what then was my power source, which was alcohol. You know, I was well and truly plugged into that. So I was working in pubs and bars, and I, you know, got to taste during the day. After, you know, after closing, I would drink on my bar tab until that was maxed out, and then just drink without, you know, without any intention of paying for what I was having. I always needed more alcohol than I had money for. So, you know, I had the keys to a pub. I would just, you know, take an extra bottle of wine home. I would sit in the dark by myself, you know, drinking endless beers and crying. You know, that's not a happy life. I wasn't a happy person when I came into the rooms. You know, I think like many of us, I had my relationship with alcohol had evolved from something fun and exciting through, well, unusually for me, I had a period of time when it was my profession. I worked in the fine wine industry, and, you know, I used to joke to people and say, well, you know, I work in wine and sometimes I take my work home, which was kind of cute. I could talk about being obsessive about wine, you know, when you're all passionate about it. And it added a kind of veneer of respectability to it. But, you know, the people close to me, particularly the people who lived with me, knew that, you know, it was a necessity, and drinking myself into a stupor every night was you know, what I had to do. When I started running a fine wine shop, it was the perfect job for an alcoholic. I got to have my first drink at 10 a.m. every workday, because that was when I would open a tasting bottle and write a tasting note that I sent out to my customers, and you know, have a spittoon there for show. The reality was that, you know, my first drink, like clockwork, was at 10 a.m. Every morning. At this stage in my drinking, I still, you know, I would not have described myself as an alcoholic. But I knew, I think, that I was on thin ice. I had seen an aunt and an uncle succumb to alcoholism. My uncle, I loved him dearly, but he was one of those tragic alcoholics who, you know, if you went round to see him, he'd be sort of sitting in a pool of urine on his couch with, you know, with his box of wine and a big tin of cigarette butts, and, you know, and he couldn't really talk to you, or you know, and so I knew what the end game looked like. And I think I spent quite a long period of time kind of measuring myself up against that. And it was both a blessing and a curse that I'd seen such a sharp end of alcoholism, because, you know, that was my benchmark. And I knew I wasn't there yet. But at the same time, I knew that I was creeping toward that line, and that I was in trouble. You know, as I went to greater and greater lengths to ensure that I had alcohol when it, you know, wasn't necessarily accessible, either because I didn't have enough money or, you know, I was in a place where I wasn't supposed to be drinking or whatever. You know, I was kind of aware of that creep and the fact that I was, you know, increasingly unable to fulfill obligations, that things that could be expected of me. I was miserable, you know, yet I went on and I went on. It's hard to know exactly what it was that made the difference and helped me to get into the rooms. I can't necessarily identify just one rock bottom. You know, I sort of had a few. I kind of think of it as an accumulation of things that kind of finally reached a critical point. You know, people would ask me questions that I had no answers to, like, how did you get that black eye? And where's my money? And, you know, that was quite confounding. And you know, you can sort of slip and slide around things a certain amount. The other one that people started asking me was, why are you shaking? And I didn't really, you know or want to answer those things. I think I had some understanding. Yeah, it was for me, the threat of my employment. You know, all of my employers over the last 10 years of my drinking found some reason to talk to me about my drinking, which, you know, is a bit of a red flag. And I was in a place of some misery and a lot of fear. But finally, a friend of mine got in touch with me, and you know, it was that point when people stopped talking about me and started talking to me. And my friend, her husband was in a fellowship for a different addiction, and had met someone who was an alcoholic and went to AA and must have said, oh, you know, I've got this friend and, you know, I think she's an alcoholic. So my friend was like, you know, got in touch with me and said, I really hate seeing what alcohol is doing to you, and you know, have you thought about going to a meeting? And, you know, they put me in touch with this guy who was an AA and was willing to meet with me. And, you know, it was pretty useless and pretty unreliable by that point. But, you know, when the question was put to me, are you over this? I was ready to say, yeah. Yeah, I need something to change, And, you know, I went and met with this person. And he said to me, you know, do you think you're an alcoholic? And I know that I am. And that was all, you know, I sort of needed. We talked on, and I cried, and you know, and it was all very, very full on. Then the next night he took me to my first meeting, which was the Mount Victoria Big Book meeting. And, you know, I identified at my first meeting as an alcoholic, and I didn't take much in, but I was able to, you know, keep coming back, and you know, this person kept taking me to a few meetings, and, you know, he said, here, here's this person who's willing to be your sponsor. and I said, okay. You know, I think at the outset, I didn't have any grand plans of, you know, never drinking for the rest of my life or anything like that. All I wanted was a night off. And I got that night off, and you know, and then I got another night, and they just sort of, you know, brick by brick, I feel like they, you know, they're the bricks that sort of pave your path to freedom, you know, it helps that early on, people said to me, you don't need anything special to be able to make a success of this. All you need is willingness, honesty, and open-mindedness, and you'll be right. You'll be okay if you've got those three things. It'll be okay, and you know, the steps are a work of genius. You know, that sort of divine inspiration, I think, and you know, it was simple enough for me to comprehend and to step through. I had good guidance, which was really helpful. And, you know, by the grace of God, here I am today with 10 years of sobriety. My life has changed dramatically. You know, my housing insecurity disappeared. I became a good employee. I went back to university, got a qualification, changed my career, and that's going well. I have a solid and loving relationship, which is something I never, you know, came close to in the past. My blessings, the blessings of my sobriety are, you know, multiple, and all of those things. I came into it with an open mind, but I don't think that even the most open mind could possibly dare to hope that a life could be so transformed and amazing. So yeah, if you're out there and listening to the show and you're sort of struggling with alcohol you know, don't know what's coming next, I think, you know, if I can give one thing to you is the message of hope. You know, for me, the difference between me and my uncle who died of this disease is, you know, somehow I saw the hope, and you know, I was able to hold on to that flimsy reed that we talk about in the Big Book, and you know, and here we are. So thank you so much for asking me to share. Thanks
Rebecca, and kia ora koutou. I'm David, I'm an alcoholic, and I'm your host for this program this morning. This is the AA meeting on air on Wellington Access Radio 106.1 FM. And Rebecca was talking about, you know, working at a wine places that sell wine and pubs and so on. It just reminds me, just a little while ago, I was in Berlin and visited my friend Danny, who is a master brewer, which is a big thing in Germany. And Danny showed me around his brewery and everything. And you know, late in the afternoon, none of the staff were drinking or anything there. It was just interesting to see. I only mention this because then after that, I went to an AA meeting in Berlin that night, because AA meetings are everywhere. And I found the AA meeting in Berlin was just like the ones we have here. You know, the same kind of people. They're just as welcoming as you know, you're very welcomed at AA meetings anywhere in the world. Guten Morgen, Jasmin in Berlin, if you're listening. And, you know, they are, you can find an AA meeting anywhere in New Zealand, anywhere in the world, as far as I know, and you'll be welcome there. Right, now, just if you're trying to get hold of AA to find out where meetings are, you can ring us on 0800 AA Works, which is 0800 229 6757, or go to our website, aa.org.nz. And we this morning we have the Mount Vic Tuesday Big Book meeting as our guests, and could I ask Cecile to share, please?
Hello, I'm Cecile, and I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Cecile.
And Tuesday Big Book is one of my home groups. I have multiple because I like AA a lot, and it helps me a lot. My problems with alcohol began when I was about 13. I found that it gave me a temporary relief from my problems with mental illness. And I still have a bunch of trouble with that. However, I'm not drinking, and it's been 18 months now that I haven't been. So I'm learning how to cope with things without alcohol. But back then, I had no clue how to deal with things. So I drank. I took my parents' wine, and I would just drink a bottle in my room and just black out and just feel momentarily like I was okay and I was enough. And it was really hard for me to achieve that feeling without alcohol. I never felt enough. I never felt calm. I always felt alone, and it was really painful for me. I'm just now starting to learn all about like the reasons why and what's actually going on. But I wouldn't be able to learn all that stuff about myself had I not started to get things back on track. Things got really messy for quite a while there. I remember my first boyfriend breaking up with me because I was always embarrassing him at parties. I would always just intend on drinking one or two drinks with everyone, and I'd ruin everyone's night. And I often would hear about being a fun ruiner, or just, yeah, how I pissed everyone off. I'd ruin people's birthdays. I just, once I had a drink in me, I just was on another planet. I would injure myself too. I always had cuts and scrapes and bruises. It was quite funny. People would ask me if my partner was abusing me, but it was just my clumsiness when I was drinking, actually. But this continued well into my 20s. When I was about 20, I would say that's when I was drinking all the time, all day, every day. And that period of my life is pretty hazy, and I shudder to think what actually happened during that time, because I know some of it, and what I know is already pretty bad. I hung out with some pretty shady characters, and I did some pretty shady things, and there are certain things that I'm now working through in therapy, which are quite painful to think about. And without alcohol, I find that I don't really get myself into those situations anymore. I make much better choices. I'm not a danger to myself and to others, which is a wonderful thing. And I forget all the time to be grateful for that and to remember that it could all be taken away the moment that I have a drink. And, you know, this desire to drink will convince me, you know, that it's not so bad, it wasn't that bad. And that's the madness of it, is you completely forget what it was like. But I had really messy relationships, and things got really quite twisted, and I started to feel quite hopeless and like I could never live a good life or a stable life or have any positive relationships. Whereas now I'm finding that I am slowly getting all of those things, and it's really wonderful, but it is quite a difficult thing. It's not easy, and you have to be quite patient. I think that's why people choose to drink instead, because it is quite a daunting process to have to face yourself and face all of your demons that you spent years repressing. But that's the journey, and the beautiful thing is you don't have to do it alone. And I have some really wonderful friends in AA who are always there for me, even when I'm being crazy and I'm convincing myself I'm alone and no one cares. They're always showing me that that's not true. And I've had a lot of help throughout this journey. It's certainly not something one can do alone, but you're far from alone in AA. There's so many meetings in Wellington. I know them quite well. I've been to so many. In my first year, I think I did one every day pretty much, unless I was sick. And it made all the difference, because it takes a lot of repetition to get these concepts to sink in. We're known for being a very stubborn people as alcoholics, and it's hard to get myself to accept that I just can't drink. Like, I hope that one day I'll just accept that and surrender to it fully, because I still fight it sometimes. However, it has been a while since I drank, and my last drunk is a good reminder of why I don't drink, because I had a huge fight with my friend that night and I blacked out the whole evening. I don't remember what happened, but I know that I was crying a lot, and I know that I felt full of regret and remorse and horror the next day, which is typical drunk for someone like me. And I have to come to meetings often and remind myself that that's what it was like. Otherwise, I'll see my colleagues drinking, I'll see my family drinking, I'll think, yeah, I'll join them. I just want to be normal, just want to be like everybody else. And for me, part of this journey is, a huge part of it, is accepting that I'm just not like everybody else. And there is a lot of kind of grieving that goes with that. I'm always grieving, like the idea of being a normal person and living a normal life, you know. But people in AA, they tell me there's no such thing as normal anyway. Everyone's different, and this is just one of the ways in which we're different. But yeah, I'm finding a lot of comfort and a lot of joy in living in AA, so thank you.
Thanks, Cecile. Now, this is the Alcoholics Anonymous meeting on air for Saturday, the 20th of September, and you're on Wellington Access Radio at 106 FM and various places online that you can find us. Just to let you know again, the AA website in New Zealand is a very helpful resource. It has, you know, you could find every AA meeting everywhere in the country on that quite easily, and lots of information about AA, its history, what it does, what the people involved in it does. It's an organisation of just the people in it who are at the groups in it, and there's no sort of central authority or anything. It's quite a welcoming and fabulous place to go if you need the kind of help that people who end up at AA need. And you can find the website at aa.org.nz or phone, and there's always someone 24 hours a day who will take your call. That's 0800 AA Works if you work your phone that way, or 0800 229 6757. Now, I'm David, I'm an alcoholic, and I'm just going to share a little bit this morning, which I haven't done on one of these on-air broadcasts before. Both Rebecca and Cecile had mentioned about going to their first AA meetings, and I'm recalling this myself, and I found it a terrifying experience, because I was worried, that somebody, would know who I was. And I remember, sitting in the car outside AA meetings that I was first wanting to go to, looking at everybody who was going inside to see if I knew any of them, and I didn't. And so I finally, went in myself, and the first meeting, it was the Saturday morning group in the Salvation Army place opposite Wellington Hospital, and it's moved now, it's further up Newtown, but anyway, it seemed to be fine, and I was very welcome there, and this was really good, and I didn't know anybody, which is how I wanted it to be, because that meant nobody would know me, and wonder why I might have been at such a meeting. I went to a couple of other meetings around Wellington, and I was at one up in off Tinakori Road, and I remember sitting in there, and oh my God, suddenly my daughter's scoutmaster came in, and I saw him come in, and I just panicked. I just ran for my life. I bolted out of there, because this was somebody, who would have known, who knew who I was, because I'd often take my daughter up to the scouts, and I'd met him many times, he would have thought I was an alcoholic, I just actually never went back to that meeting, because I just was so terrified of it, and I realised later, the silliness of it, whether it was my daughter's scoutmaster or anybody else, people were at AA because they wanted problems with, their alcohol, and the fact that it was somebody I knew that wasn't going to hold it against me. They weren't going to go and, tell everybody else in the scout group or get onto my work and tell them. It's not as if the work didn't know. It took quite a while to get over that. And I discovered that AA meetings were actually these wonderful, welcoming places where you get the most inspiring people attend and talk about, the experiences that they've had with alcohol and how AA has actually helped them to get over some, horrendous drinking. I can only sort of speak for myself. With that, I never thought I had a problem with alcohol. I didn't think about it at all. I just drank, and I never tried to stop drinking. Never occurred to me. The only problem I had was people were saying, you're always drinking, or why are you drinking? Or my GP would say, have you had a drink today? And whatever they said, of course, I've never had a drink today. I always would say, no, I haven't had a drink for ages. And years later, my GP told me, I didn't believe a word you said, which I suppose it's something one does lie about. Some people at AA, have struggled for a long time to stop drinking. I just never did. It never occurred to me to stop, and to the extent that eventually my GP and other doctors told me that unless I stopped today, I would be dead. One of the doctors that my GP put me onto said, if you have one more glass, you will die. And it never occurred to me there was anything wrong with me at all. I mean, I could hardly walk. I couldn't eat. I had, all kinds of sort of ailments that seemed to be wrong with me, but I never associated it with alcohol. It was just, something happening, it'll go away, because it's years since I've had a cold, and so this is just, something else that will go away. Well, not even, it never occurred to me that alcohol was causing it, and that's the madness of how this could be, yet everybody else, around me sort of knew and tried to tell me about it, but that was just, they were just a nuisance, and I realised the power that alcohol can have over somebody, and I found by going to an AA meeting that, I had to go somewhere because the doctors had told me that, one more glass and I was dead. I found at an AA meeting that, they didn't tell me that you don't have to drink tomorrow, you don't have to worry, about stopping forever, you just don't drink anything today. And that sort of quite helped. I thought, right, this is Saturday morning. Can I get through Saturday and not have a drink today? and managed that. And also the death threat that the doctors had said was hanging over me also helped. And you just, I found it was something you go day by day, not drinking today. And I found, you know, I'd go to AA meetings. I wouldn't want to turn up at an AA meeting, you know, drunk. And so that was an incentive, you know, not to drink today because I like this AA meeting that I'm going to, you know, this evening. So I'll turn up at that sober. And it was quite extraordinary going to something at 7:30 at night without three bottles of wine in me. I used to not really go out anywhere because, you know, my family didn't want me to. They never knew what I might do, or I might just fall asleep or create some sort of scene there. So I was just left at home to drink. And so it's by 7:30 at night, this was extraordinary, getting out to AA meetings and being sober. And I saw then how, you know, the people at AA with the steps and the readings, the fact that you can have a sponsor who will look after you and check how you were, and you can discuss things with or discuss things with anybody at AA. At an AA, as I mentioned before, I went to one in Germany. You can just talk to people there. There's always people there ready to help you with that. And so here I am too on a Saturday morning at, I can see, 10:55 a.m. And I haven't had anything to drink at all, whereas Saturday was even worse than a working day. It would, you know, I'd go to get the supplies at 7 a.m. and by 10:55 a.m. I'd have had my first bottle of wine and beer and everything, and it was not a way to live. Now I have got a life, and the AA is, you know, a really good part of it. Anyway, that is enough for me. We're getting towards the close of our meeting. This is the AA on air meeting on Wellington Access Radio, and if I could, please, as we're getting towards the end of the meeting, if I could ask Rebecca to read the AA promises for us.
Sure.
Thank you, Rebecca.
I'm Rebecca. I'm an alcoholic. The AA promises. If we are painstaking about this phase of our development, we will be amazed before we are halfway through. We are going to know a new freedom and a new happiness. We will not regret the past, nor wish to shut the door on it. We will comprehend the word serenity, and we will know peace. No matter how far down the scale we've gone, we will see how our experience can benefit others. That feeling of uselessness and self-pity will disappear. We will lose interest in selfish things and gain interest in our fellows. Self-seeking will slip away. Our whole attitude and outlook upon life will change. Fear of people and of economic insecurity will leave us. We will intuitively know how to handle situations which used to baffle us. We will suddenly realize God is doing for us what we could not do for ourselves. Are these extravagant promises? We think not. They are being fulfilled among us, sometimes quickly, sometimes slowly. They will always materialize if we work for them.
Thanks, Rebecca. And just for one last time, this is the Alcoholics Anonymous Wellington meeting on air, which is held every fourth Saturday. And so the next one will be four Saturdays from now. And it's each of these meetings is brought to you by a particular AA group and from around Wellington. And today we've had the wonderful Rebecca and Cecile from the Mount Vic Big Book meeting, which is held on Tuesdays. And of course, as most of us will know, that, you know, the Big Book is the, you know, the main big publication of Alcoholics Anonymous and gets a lot of reading from all of our members. Could I ask everyone here now to help us close this meeting? Thank you for everybody who's joined in, you know, in Wellington and around New Zealand and overseas. And we'll close with a serenity prayer. God,
grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and wisdom to know the difference.
Keep coming back.
That program was brought to you by Wellington Access Radio. Get your voice heard. Thanks New Zealand On Air for funding accessmedia.nz.